September 5th, 2018, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Brother Matt is back, and I talked to him yesterday. He's going to help me out because I got kind of hurt starboard hand here. But here my pad, but not totally alone, as you can probably hear from some noises through the miraculous engineers over in Estonia who brought us Skype. I got with me Meredith, the cheeseburger of Cleveland Steamers. You guys are in Cleveland, right?
Yes, we are. Okay. A little bit on the east side.
Welcome aboard. East side, let's see. I play a lot in Cleveland Heights at Kathy's place.
The Grog Shop?
Right. Both of them, old and new. Miss the old one. Maybe the new one's too much.
Beachland. Maybe you play the Beachland Ballroom ever?
Maybe too much cement. We got to talk one at a time, cheeseburger. That's the way Skype works. I also stay at Demos' pad, which is Shaker Heights, which ain't too far away. David Thomas told me he grew up in Cleveland Heights. I have a big heart for Cleveland. I love it. One day I'm going to come there and make a wrestling record with nothing but Cleveland people and would like to have you aboard. Demos is going to play Bone on it, in fact. Who wants to go first? Because I want to take a stroll down your musical memory lane.
All right. I will.
Okay, cheeseburger. What's your earliest musical recollection?
Just a second.
Before we start, I got to say we started off the show with Mr. PC, live at Penn State, John Coltrane. Anybody knows anything knows that's a tune he wrote for an incredible bass cat, Mr. Paul Chambers. Then we heard brand new album, Cleveland Steamers, with See You Tonight. So go ahead there, cheeseburger. Your earliest musical recollection.
Okay, earliest memories of probably CKLW was a big thing for me. It was out of Detroit, Windsor. We could pick it up here in Cleveland. Middle 60s. So, doing a typical kid thing with the little transistor radio laying in bed.
You mean it traveled all the way across Lake Erie?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I think it was 50,000 watt, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was a great station. And so, listen to a lot of stuff in that. And then, oddly enough, probably the thing that had the biggest impact on me was the Monkees. I started watching that TV show.
TV show, Don Kirshner.
And I remember my dad even made us, he cut out some fake guitars, like on wood, and just tied string to them and stuff. So we'd stand in the basement and act like we were the Monkees,
So your pop, he was more a listener, not a player?
Yeah, my house, we were all listeners in the house. None of us really played.
So the only instruments were like these cutout things with string.
Yeah, just fake things, I was born to be a lip syncer or something. I don't know, nobody really played in the house. And then my brother, a little bit later, he started playing guitar by the time I was 12 or 13 or something. He's about 4 years older than me, so I used to listen to him play a little bit.
What about at school? Was there any music you did in school?
No, I was really a latecomer to the game. I really didn't start playing until I was about 18. I played bass. And what had happened was...
Yeah, how'd you get into the bass, cheeseburger?
Don't worry about it, because
Joe Bizes started, Saccharin Trust. He started electric guitar at 27. It's never too late.
Wow. Yeah, well, I had a friend that was a decent guitar player, and he just said, here, I'm going to teach you. He sort of just said, told me he's going to teach me to play bass, One of those kind of things, because we had fun hanging out, so...
This is after high school?
This was about our junior year, maybe. Probably our senior year, yeah. Like I said, I was about 17 or 18. But what had happened was, he came over with a couple 45s that sort of changed my life. One was the Pagans, What's This Shit Called Love?
Oh, yeah.
And the Ramones, Rockaway Beach.
Yeah.
And... After he played those, and we just kept playing them over and over and over. And that was then sort of like, we got to try to do this stuff, I think the Ramones had that influence on a lot of people.
Sure. Well, but cheeseburger, when you were a boy, what was the first record you bought yourself?
That's sort of embarrassing now, maybe. I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was Three Dog Night, captured live at the Forum, the LA Forum.
I remember that album.
Yeah, I don't know why that's the one, but I do. That's the first album I ever had. I got some singles from
what,
bands like Birthday
what was,
Presents.
What was the... Yeah, of course. My first record was a single, too. You used to buy them at the drugstore. They're a lot cheaper. Yeah. Can you remember the first 45 you bought?
You know, this kid across the street used to always get them for me for my birthday. Everybody Plays the Fool.
Oh, yeah.
The first one I remember him giving me. I can't even think who...
The Dramatics?
God, what was the name of that?
You know, the Dramatics. Who
everybody Plays the Fool. You know the song.
It would be part of those, like, K-Tel collections.
Yeah.
You know, don't rock the boat, baby. I remember those. Something Love Unlimited or maybe I can't remember the name of the band. But what about your first gig? What was the first gig you went to?
First gig, well, I didn't go there until I went to there's a place around here called Nelson Ledges, which is like a big like sort of drug hangout kind of place and everything. And I went in 1976, you know, the summer of the bicentennial.
Yeah.
They had something called the Freedom Festival. Okay. So it was July that year. I was 15 then. So it was one of those big things where they had like bands like seven or eight bands. I remember there's Heart, Jay Giles, ELO, Ariel Bender.
Ariel Bender.
Yeah, let's see. I can't even. You know, there was Steve Miller was there and stuff. It was sort of an amazing experience for me because when we walked there, like I said, I was 15, but I was already dabbling in too many substances, but there was like vans lined up with their back doors open, and they all had like you could just purchase drugs right off, you know, out of the back of these vans and stuff. It was a pretty weird thing, but I guess the 70s were much different than nowadays, you know.
I graduated Peter High in 1976.
Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah, that was my first. It was a lot of fun. It was an all day thing.
Now, who's your buddy who played guitar? What's his name? We should give him some credit because he got you going on fucking bass.
Okay, yeah, and actually he's got a little history himself. His name was Randy Promozik, and I don't know how familiar you are with the Cleveland punk scene, but there was some things that came out, a Cleveland Confidential EP, which was sort of notoriety around here, and, you know, the Pagans were on it and stuff, and the Clocks, but he was in a band on that called the AK-47s, and then he was in, he played in the Breathing Blankets along with Mike Hudson, and... other stuff like that, but yeah.
Now, did he make a band with you once he got you on? What was your first bass?
A Fender Music Master.
Okay. And yeah, what kind of amp?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What kind of amp?
Oh, you know, I had a job and I blew a whole lot of money on some amp peg. You know, it was like, it cost way more than the car I was driving at the time, you know. And everything.
Probably weighed as much, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God, yes.
So, did you guys make a band?
Yeah, we did some stupid things. Like, you know, we'd play, like, at parties and backyards, you know. Get different dumb names, like City Kitties. And, geez, I can't, you know, nothing that ever really stuck together very
long. So, you guys
long.
Never recorded? Did you write songs together?
No, you know, I wasn't writing any songs yet. I never wrote any songs until actually this project, the Cleveland Steamers.
We'll get to that later. But yeah. I do want to play something from the new record. It's called Hung Up On You. We'll be right back.
I got a letter from the government yesterday. They asked me to spit into a cup and send it back to them so they could know where I come from.
Thank you. see in my genealogy. Don't be a lemon in my family tree. E.T. in my genealogy. Don't be a lemon in my family tree. E.T.
Yes, and pow and zap and zowie. Here comes a quad squad to give you an owie. Green and silver kind of makes me shiver, but the other teams, they almost quiver. Cape Crusaders hit the floor. Looks like roller derby and they're going to score. Round and round the track they go. The green team really puts on a show. They're really championship material. They should be on a box of cereal. Blockers so fine and jammers for real. Building the score with the points they steal. Pound them hard. Push on through. The quad squad is mighty. They really can do. Superpower slam down. Give them a push. Take on the track. Now you really rush to take the game, to show your might. And you can win. You're all right. Let us go. Let's go. Quad squad. Skate out really hard. Just want you to know you are loved by this bard.
The screen gets a window and makes it bright, while I take out all the rubbish on who I don't like. There's nothing in here, I'm just ignoring my kids, spitting at some idiot I don't know. From Leeds, he told me I was gonna get smacked. For the rest of the day, I just thought about that. Should I get in the car and drive up there? Take my chances and get his address. Stick in a five and go. 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stick in a five and go. 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa. Got a tip from a random and where I should go. It was highly unusual, but I was fuming, you know. I couldn't sleep at night with thoughts of pulling his tail. So I bought a uniform from Royal Mail. I know it sounds weird and it's not okay, but I got a good mate at the DVLA. So I threw him some cash and I got a postcode and a door number and a fucking road. Stick in a five and go. 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stick in a five and go. 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hello?
Hello, is that Mr. Twitter? I mean Mr. Trees?
Yeah, who's that?
The postman. I've got a big package for you. You need to sign for it, Mr. Trees. It's massive. So can you come outside? You need to sign for it, mate. What's in it? I'm not sure. I think it's an England address. So can you come outside?
Don't know.
You need to sign for it, mate. Sign for it, mate. Sign for it, mate. Sign for it, mate. Stick in a five and go. Stick in a five and go. Five and go. Stick in a five and go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stick in a five and go. 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stick in a five and go. Stick in a five and go. Stick in a
Walk for Pedro show? Yeah, brand new from the Cleveland Steamers. Hung up on you. Then MB Jones out of Pusan doing ET and My Genealogy. I'm on bass on that. I did it here in Pedro. The miracle of the internet, people. It's not all bad new days. Kodorashki out of Bulgaria with September. I should have played this last show, but it's still five, so we're close. From Brazil, Vermes de Limbo, Idiotica, bitch and bear. David Nesselhaus, Nesselhoff out of Germany with a brand new album, Repitoff, yeah, PH, strange spelling. Joe Brewer, Madison, Wisconsin, Superpower, Slam Down, Jack Brewer cousin. Or Spitario Sacred Trust, that's the singer man's cousin. Slay for Mods out of England, Nottingham, part with Stick in a Five and Go, brand new. The Blanks out of Arizona, brand new Bad Boy. Guided by Voices, there's always something brand new for Mr. Pollard there. At least 10 albums a year, right? The Chocolate Boy, Round Eye out of Shanghai with He, She, Oroshima, Sea. And then finally, Cleveland Steamers with My Asshole Cousin. It's probably a true story, huh?
Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
Truth be told. Now, it's Meredith's turn. Meredith, what is your earliest musical memory?
My earliest musical memory is being underneath my Aunt Mary's kitchen table and kicking the underside of the table to the beat of I Want to Hold Your Hand, which was on the radio.
Beatles.
And singing along.
Okay.
And my Aunt Mary pulled me out by the ankle and said, I want to break your leg if you don't stop.
And this is Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you were threatened with, loving music. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. So was it sort of like a cheeseburger where there's a little more listeners than players in the pad, or did somebody play?
We listened to the radio all the time. Radio was on. My cousin Jeannie was a singer.
Okay.
And she sang in some bands. But nobody really played an instrument.
You know, like some people that got a piano in the house. It doesn't mean anybody right. played it, but
you know, right
might
exactly.
be there. Okay. Okay. So, what about you in school? Did you play in school?
I was in the chorus, and I was in the Singing Angels, which okay. was a children's chorus that was run by this old vaudeville guy, and we put on shows around town, like for businesses, for business parties, and during the Christmas season, we would sing in the department stores downtown.
Wow, so was it just school?
Oh, no. Okay. No, and we went to Romania.
Wow.
We were like one of the first American groups to like sing behind the Iron Curtain.
Wow.
I got to play
there a couple of years ago, but there was no Iron Curtain. there was a lot of beat
right.
up East Block, but there was no Iron Curtain.
Right.
Anyway, do you remember the first record you bought yourself?
Yeah, it was Lulu's To Sir With Love. We saw the
wow.
movie
yeah,
at
yeah.
Severance Mall and then went to Disc Records, which was just a couple stores down in the mall, and bought the record.
Wow. And
played it constantly.
And what about your first gig? What was the first concert you saw?
The first one that I remember was my mom got tickets to a benefit for the Chicago 7, Chicago 8, and it was at Public Hall, and it was Blood, Sweat, and Tears were the headliners, but
Jocko played in that band a little while.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
people, listeners out there, if you want to know about Chicago, some Bobby Seale, I mean, there were some intense times in the late
Amazing.
60s, early 70s,
Amazing.
And yeah.
I didn't know going on at the time, but it was...
Well, he was actually, like, chained up in court and gagged and shit.
Right, bound and gagged in his chair.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Fred Hampton shot to death in his path. It was heavy times.
It was heavy times.
So, okay, this thing with the singing, did this go into junior high and high school?
Yeah, I was in it until I was 18.
Wow, okay. So it was a good experience.
It really was. It taught me a lot about stage presence and how to project and how to sing in harmony with a group of people. There's still nothing quite like singing harmony with somebody and hitting the right notes, and it's just, you know, makes your hair stand up on end.
Yeah, absolutely. A good friend of mine, Petra Hayden, and her and her sister, Rachel, because they're identical twins. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Charlie Hayden's daughters. Okay, besides this band that you did all this time and you learned a lot of stuff through, did you do other music stuff?
When I went to college outside of New York City, and I ended up working at the Strand Bookstore.
Oh, wow.
And I was in a couple of Strand bands.
You know what I heard? You know who I heard work there was Tim Wright. Who was one of the early bass player guitar men for Para Ubu.
Yeah.
And I actually saw him play in DNA after the organ guy left.
Yeah.
Ardo and Ikwe. Yeah.
Patti Smith worked there. Not while I was there, but Miriam Lena, who is the original drummer for the Cramps.
Maybe some television.
She worked there actually when I worked there.
I was reading about it in Richard Lloyd's book, Combustible.
Right.
Yeah, amazing. It's still open, right?
Yeah, it sure is. 8 miles of books, although it's probably more than 8 miles now.
The other big cat is in Portland, Oregon, Powell's.
Yeah.
But we're losing these babies. Okay, so being there, you were connected to a lot of music people.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, there was a band that I was in, like it was saying, called Lunar Caustic, and I'm still friends with Bill Sack. He lives in Buffalo, and he's still doing music.
Okay. So then you were doing some gigs in New York City in the old days, then?
Yeah, we played at ABC No Rio and ABC.
Sure.
I did one gig at CBGB with some guys that were in the Swans.
Okay.
It was this weird art thing.
Yeah, Michael is actually from up the hill here, Palos Verde, long time ago. Yeah, he was in the Hollywood scene a little bit. I think his band was called the Strict IDs or something.
A little bit.
And then he moved to the big town. So interesting. So how long did you spend in New York City?
About 10 years.
Wow. Because I know there was a connection because I've read about Peter Laffer making. It's not really that far. I know it's weird they call Ohio the Midwest, but it's actually, you only have to go through Pennsylvania to get to New York City.
Yep, it's true.
Like the Velvet Underground played many times. It was so close. Well,
yeah,
close enough.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. So after 10 years, though, you call quits and you come back.
Yeah, it just got too expensive, too many drugs. It was hard to live there. It became really hard to live there.
Well, Cheeseburger could have came by in one of those vans.
Yeah.
Just open up the back, you know. They're in the alphabet part of the Lower East Side, you know.
That's right.
No, that was a bad joke. but interesting. So you come back and, how does the Cleveland Steamers come together?
Well, when I came back, I was hanging out with some of the punk scene here in Cleveland. And I was hanging out at this house that was legendary, and it's where a couple members of the Pinkholes lived. And that's where I met Cheese Borger.
Okay.
So I'll let Cheese take it from there.
Yeah.
Take it, Cheese.
But yeah, the Pinkholes was my thing all through the 80s. The punk band thing we had here.
This is after you've been playing with your buddy. You made your own band.
Yeah, after sort of, he just taught me how to play, a little bit. But yeah, so then, but this was other guys, and we all got together and started this thing called the Pinkholes. And it lasted about 10 years, and then we even still did reunions up until a few years ago. But we did a couple albums.
Cheeseburger, do you remember the first Pinkhole gig?
Yeah, I do. I actually joined, I went and saw them, and they didn't have a bass player yet. And I was like, I thought to myself, wow, that's a band that I could actually be in, because they were really bad. And so I joined them, like, and the audition was funny. I just had to go over there and drink with them. And they're like, yeah, you're in. You know, we didn't play or anything, but then...
you know, I heard a story like that with Thin Lizzy. Like, Thin Lizzy had one U.S. guy on guitar, right? I think Scott Gorham. Yeah. And he was talking about his audition with, who was the boss? Phil Lynott, right?
Phil, yeah.
Yeah. And the whole, I guess, the audition interview was, can you fight?
Yeah. I just had to drink, so...
Okay, can you drink? Can you drink?
But so, so I do remember the first time on stage. It was pretty funny. We played at a place called the Pop Shop.
Oh, man, I played there. It was under the Agora.
You're right. The original Cleveland
Agora. That's where the first time that Minutemen played in Cleveland was at the Pop Shop under the Agora, and upstairs was the Romantics, the red leather guys from Detroit. And big hair. Look, we got to save your story for a second hour because we're at the end of the first one. September 5, 2018, special guest, Cleveland Steamers people. Hang tight for hour two. September 5, 2018, it's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
I'm not afraid to die. liquid sky as moonlight glows. Mammal faces, neon traces, street lights froze. Mirrors shatter, spirits scatter, minds exposed. Aimless walks and random talks that plague my soul. Not for everyone, everyone but madmen only. Not for everyone, everyone is left so lonely. Not for everyone, everyone but madmen only. Not for everyone, everyone is left so lonely. Consequential embrace life. Take a lover, choose another, find that door. Masquerade as friends, betray the cold dark wall. Mammal paces, neon traces, street lights froze. Mirrors shatter, spirits scatter, minds exposed. Aimless walks and random talks that plague my soul. Not for everyone, everyone but madmen only. Not for everyone, everyone is left. Everyone is left so lonely.
de mi pueblo es un señor muy correcto, no reniego del sistema y hasta la vista para acá. Avanza el pago del tío Sol.
¿Qué?
Mira, se tapa tu papá. Que puente triste de puquero, voy a ver que me dice el tiempo.
Lo primero que le dice es rey, que está con esto.
Él me dijo que nunca la pudo tener, porque ya es joven el pelo que le empezó a caer.
Y los hace la chaqueta, donde está el mundo, por su frontera.
Me dijo que los blogs son mucho más maduros.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Something Bad from the brand new Cleveland Steamer album. Then we heard Stella Martyr with Immortals. I'm missing with, I don't know how you pronounce this, but S-O-Y-C, Soik. Yapa Laura, these are some Colombia guys, with El Ponquero de Mi Pueblo. And I just met them because doing documentary on Robo, second drummer for Black Flag, you know, he's a Colombian cat. He ran away from the army to be in the band. And the guy working the camera gave me a CD. That's what they do these days. Chris Butler, an Akron guy, with The Whirl Away. I guess he was in Tin Huey and Waitresses and shit. And finally, The Healers from, you know, just west of Chicago. Well, fuck it, man. Okay, so let's continue. We're talking about how the Cleveland Steamers got going, but it's prefaced with pink holes. Because I guess, Meredith, you went to the pink hole pad, and Cheeseburger, this is where the band you joined. Were you living there with these cats?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
To you. Well, no, I wasn't. I didn't live in the house. I passed out there quite a few nights, but no, it was one of the guys from the Pagans, the bass player from the Pagans, was living there. Larry Lewis and stuff, and a couple of the guys I say the, from the Pagans. But so yeah, so you know, we started playing a lot. Like I said, we did that first show at the Pop Shop, which you said you played there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great place.
That pad burned down, right?
Yeah, underneath the Gora. And, yeah, I mean, great stuff down there. I saw the Cramps there. I saw the Replacements. Saw you guys.
Eventually, it burned down, right?
Yeah, it did. It was sort of suspicious.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I heard, too.
Yeah, they were getting ready to tear it down anyhow because the Cleveland State wanted the parking lot or something, and it burned, like, a month before it was going to close anyhow, you know.
Oops,
so it was sort of weird.
Purpose. Yeah.
But they moved down. They're down near East 55th now on Euclid and stuff. There's sure. An Agora still.
In fact, there was two families that were the king of rock and roll gigs, right? With the Contis and another family. And
The Belkins.
Belkins, that's it.
Yeah, they did all the big gigs.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, because of touring, if you call a tour more than a month, I just did my 66th. So I've learned some of these things. Tell me the germ that got the Cleveland Steamers going.
Okay, well, now we move forward a little bit to 2011, and I have a friend that is I hadn't seen very much since the earlier days, and I get in touch with him at a show, and he tells me that he's got about 6 months to live. He's got some he has some bad cancer going on, and he wanted to record a few songs before he passed away. His name was Larry Lewis, another guy that was played on all the Cleveland Confidential EPs and stuff in the Bronx, and the Cleveland Confidential album that Mike Hudson had put out. But anyhow, so Larry is dying. He gets me to
Mike, was he in the Pagans? He just passed away over here in SoCal, right?
Oh, no, that was Mike Hudson. Yeah, Mike Hudson did, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died about, I don't know if it's been a year, maybe.
Yeah, I remember. Here for a while, he was in Buffalo or something running a paper.
Yeah, yeah. He had a newspaper up there. Mike was an incredible guy. He was like
yeah,
the
I've heard from many
Marvel
people.
Scene.
Many people, beautiful guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a friend of mine from the day, I probably met him when I was 17 or 18 going to see his band.
So what happened with Larry?
So Larry had the cancer. He asked me to play, and he got a guy, Steve-O from Death of Samantha, to play drums.
Yeah, I know John Pekovich.
Yeah, right. They just closed there was a club on the west side called the Fantasy.
I remember that. They had a pirate boat. I played there once or twice.
Well, the very last show was just this past Sunday night, and okay. Death of Samantha was the last band to play. They're going to tear down a couple of condos there.
I think John played clarinet, licorice stick in that band.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. And some of the guys from the New Bomb Turks did a little thing with him too.
Okay.
And
so what happened to Larry?
So Larry gets me, he gets Steve-O on drums, he gets a guy Nick Suma on guitar, and he was in a band called the Floyd Band. But so anyhow, we do these songs with Larry, and we put out a little a single and everything, but. Sure enough, Larry died almost according to the schedule. You know, he lasted about another 5 months. It sort of brought us all together.
Yeah.
And the ones of us that were left, I said to them, I said, hey, I'm trying to write songs finally. I said, would you guys, like, be willing to like do an album with me, you know, and we'll just keep this little thing going. And they were like, yeah, sure. So that was the birth of the Cleveland Steamers.
Wow.
And then, of course, me and Meredith got married in 06, and she's a good singer. I'm pretty lousy, but she's got a great voice. And so she came and started, you know, singing on some of the cuts, and just went from there. And now, is you know, this is our third album, the new one, and trying to feature her more and more and phase me out. But I write all the tunes and stuff. But so that's how it
Did you write this tune, Shut Up?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's listen.
Thank you. I like my mommy's mommy. I like it hardly well, her that come from a fishington. Uncarried a fishing crew. Spear to her, oh, ships and sailors. Storms upon the salty brine, it's far enough, how I say she. And far o'er lang syne, since when the wind in the tree was singing, like the cold water steep, I heard her singing to herself, walking or asleep. There are cowries and silver buckies, hevels, coffees and lahan, and a necklace for a laddie. Oh, the beery, weary groats. She sang a wee thing raunchin' to me, nor kent ne lilt nor reel. She come from the cold east country. I like it real well. I liked my mommy's mommy. I like it real well. Her that come from a fishing town. And carried a fishing creel.
Thank you. time. Ear of its nest. Take me to uptown, then back home. Hey, the ginger boy, gonna be the kuntai. Now we think of the future, there's still to come. I'd rather stay by the river, under the what be in the moon. Mama nature is gone, and he is gonna be here soon.
For Pedro Show, yeah, we had Shut Up from Cleveland Steamers up their new album, which actually is the third album I just learned. And then Extract out of Canada with Wingnut from Scotland, Still Houseplants. I might be playing with these cats in February, a gig in London, Cafe Odo. Monadnock. And then a lady they collaborate with, Quinny, Gathering Shells. Mold Omen out of Balmar with a big jam. Crowd on the Myth List. I guess it's better than the Meth List. We always played in Spokane. Well, Spokane's actually got two nicknames. Spokanistan and then Methlehem. A little town of Methlehem. Yeah. And then finally, from Spain, Gecko Turner with Bee Eater. Okay, we're on the story of the creation, how from the ashes of tragedy, the Cleveland Steamers. Yeah, how'd you name the band there, Cheeseburger?
Well,
because I heard there's a sex act you can purchase.
Yeah, I know, but this is sort of funny, but nobody even believes me when I say this, but I had a grandfather, Collinwood is on the east side of Cleveland, and they had a big rail yard.
Okay.
And back in the 40s, my grandfather worked there as a mechanic on the old steam engines.
Sure.
And they had a bowling team, and they called themselves the Cleveland Steamers back then. And,
yeah.
And, but it's, yeah, nowadays, the word has, it's a really perverse sex act, so it was sort of fun, you know, to name the band that, just because it did have family history, but also, like, you know, I don't know.
No, there's a place close to my heart about steam, because although the Greeks invented it a couple thousand years ago, it was kind of a toy. The guy who put it to work was a Scottish cat named James Watt. He invented a governor and a condenser, and you could actually get work out of it. So I love the fact that you're named after that and not the sex act you can pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, tell me about the first Cleveland Steamer gig.
We're sort of a strange band. We only play really fun.
Well, what about the first one? What about the first one?
Well, okay, Nick Suma, the guitar player, he's got a bar in Maple Heights, another east side.
You know, Suma, it's trippy because all the Paraubu was recorded at a place in Painesville called Suma.
Yeah, that guy just died, actually.
That's right.
Yeah, Paul Hammond.
Yeah, it was a father and son operation.
Right, yeah. But so anyhow, Nick, the guitar player, owns a bar called the Maple Grove. He's got a rock club there. And we occasionally just, well, I guess you'd call it, we do like live practices, you know, where we just jam there when the people are there drinking, you know.
Sure.
And so that's sort of, that's like the only gigs we do. It's the other guys are in a band called
But Cheeseburger, tell me about the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, again, like I say, it was just, we just showed up to try to work on some new songs and stuff. And, so, I mean, really, it was in front of about 12 of sort of what you call, like, the local, the neighborhood drunks or whatever, you know, the guys sitting at the bar and stuff.
Sure, sure.
It wasn't an announced thing or anything. It just sort of happened. And, so it was sort of weird, you know.
But it was kind of a gig, but it was also like working on songs.
Yeah. I mean, that's, cause really, we're mostly just a studio band. And, like I said, I really enjoy...
Oh, sort of like Steely Dan. Well, they do gigs now, but for a long time they never did gigs, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I see the guys out playing now that the other guy's gone. But,
right.
Yeah, you know, bigger... I shouldn't say nothing.
You know, we used to have to play a lot in the boat because Georgie, Minuteman drummer, he loved the Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, drove Ed from Ohio, the fire hose dude, drove Ed from Ohio out of his mind. Huh. I like half of Asia and stuff before that a little I can handle, but yeah. Not the biggest fan of the Dan. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 5, 2018, edition of Pedro Show special guest, Cleveland Steamers. Hold tight for hour three. September 5, 2018, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you.
Thank you. He rose from the ashes of death and dishonor, second coming of Trash Czar. Crawling out of a primitive prison, he came from East Los Angeles. No money, no jive, no shortcuts, no shit. There was something new in the smog horizon. In this city, the pollution is a beauty. As the sun wanes, it glows bright pink. Beaten the odds before, and then beat back down. So once more, he rose to his feet. The 200-mile death stare. All the cottage in the world couldn't buy these secrets. Fast talkers and liars running in their fear. A modern street prophet from the future, 10 years ahead of the hustle. Fucking the binding rod for truth as he saw it. And if God is good, then so is he. Nothing left to lose, he torn another hole in the ozone to let angels and demons possess his world. Let sewer open up its filth and glory. Rat King moves with grace. Now it's time to make good, and he knows the score. It's time to let the world inside out. Now it's time. It's time to fuck this up.
and I start to fall down.
Off computer show with a little pilot air there. And good thing I stopped Cheeseburger because he's going to blow his whole wad there up. we started with Monsanto by the Cleveland Steamers, and I was intrigued by the title, so he's going to explain. Oh, you wrote it on the bass. That's interesting. You write songs on the bass.
So yeah.
I do the same thing. Right.
Yeah, so like I said, I had this spooky little riff going, And I was sort of like, you know, Monsanto is spooky in its own way, but then I sort of just, there's not a lot of lyrics to it. It's just, I kept thinking of Monsanto being like a big Japanese, monster movie kind of villain thing.
Yeah.
Like this big Monsanto thing coming at you and just breathing fire and pollution and poison and stuff.
Yeah, I think they're called kaiju.
What the fuck.
They call those kind of movies kaiju, like the big monster. It's usually a guy in a rubber suit, right?
Yeah.
Kaiju, yeah. Godzilla, actually, the word Hijira is a whale. He was supposedly a cross between a gorilla and a whale. But it's hard for them to say R's and L's, you know. So. Godzilla, yeah. Raymond Burr, when they re-released it for U.S., they stuck Raymond Burr in there. It's very crazy.
Oh, correct, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was telling off-air listeners about when I came to Pedro here in 68. From Virginia, the Monsanto was dumping DDT in the ocean. We had no pelicans, no peregrine falcon, which is the fastest animal actually on the planet, because it was making the eggs shells too thin. And when they were forced to stop doing that, the earth made scab over that crap, and that life came back. The kelp, you know, which is a big foundation ecosystem. I should say what else we played. Necdo from Masvaldi and Andrea Rotin in Czech, probably Echo Test, great bass lady there. The Drift. I think she's playing with Adrian Ballou. Yeah. Joe Cardamone, Rat King, Mod Vigil out of Australia, Driving Is Easy. Drunk Mums too out of Australia. By the way, we lost Conrad, the keyboard man for Nick Cave. We lost a couple guys, Brian Hooper and Spencer P. Jones, Beast of Bourbon, Yeah, it's terrible. And then finally from Spain, another band, Ginferno, with San Vicente Rambla. So tell me about this third album. How's it different than the first two?
Oh, I think I'm finally starting to learn how to write a song, maybe. You know, like I said, because this first time I started writing was for this band, and so it's been a learning curve for me. So I think these are the best songs we've had yet. And also I'm getting more comfortable in the studio. And like I say, we put Meredith on a lot more on it because, you know, she's got the great voice. And I just...
Cheeseburger, what studio are you using?
A friend's, like, you know, home kind of studio.
No, that's okay. You should give him credit, though.
Yeah, his name's Ryan Folds. He calls himself Cleveland Audio. He drums on about half this album, and he plays some of the other instruments on it, like some of the, you know, keyboards and stuff. He's a great guy, very talented. But him and Nick Suma, the guitar player, yeah, they're in another band called 45 Spider, who's been getting some play on, like, Little Steven's Garage, whatever, and stuff. So they got that thing going. Those guys play out a lot.
Well, so, how long did it take you to make this album?
Worked on it about 2 years, because it was sort of, there'd be like months in between where I couldn't get time with Ryan.
Sure.
But it was sort of an interesting way to work on something. You know, I'd have it, you know, it's, sometimes you can overthink things if you sit on it too long, you know.
Absolutely.
But no, this, it had a pretty good pace. And a couple, so there's a little influence too that sort of came from 2016 of the, like the election season.
Okay.
Some of the songs are pretty inspired by that.
You know what a farmer would tell you?
Say that again?
You know what a farmer would tell you?
What's that?
If you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Oh.
I want to play Last Love, okay?
All right.
Keep the cold winds out. I know you pray. my last love, I'm in it with you. I'll be spread around when this one's through. I like when we're alone, when it's just us two. And there ain't a thing that we gotta do.
Thank you. Thank you.
For Pedro Shaw, our last music, Last Love from Cleveland Steamers. Then upstate New York, Bert Perverts with Gone. Some stuff here, from here in Pedro, Lady Hump with Blues Before the Blues. Old Days, Pedro, Plebes, Live, Redhead. And then Rats in the Louvre. And they might be Strong Beach, huh? Technical Difficulties, Patrick Grant with Harmonic Revolutions, somewhere in the universe. Up in Hollywood, Just Don't Get It, Soul and Bones. Got that. They don't say that anymore. Yeah, Los Angeles, yeah. All 150 towns. And then finally, Never Saw You Again, Cleveland Steamers. So, Cheeseburger, you're telling me not a lot of gigs. So you have no plans to tour this record?
No. No, you know, I'm not a huge fan of playing out anymore, you know, hauling the amps and all that stuff.
Sure, sure.
You know, I still really just enjoy, you know, trying to craft the song though, and going to the studio and playing with people. That's the part I love now. I don't know. I mean, you're constantly out there touring. You must still love the stage or whatever. So,
well, you know, life's about taking turns. There's all kinds of things you got to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do your own thing. Sometimes you collaborate. Sometimes you help somebody else out. Sometimes you're here now though. You know, the recording thing. You could actually, I've made records with people I've never even met because
interesting.
Because of the internet thing, you know. So there's,
right.
I just love music and there's lots of different ways. But it doesn't mean, because Watt does it that way, everybody has to do it. I think music is big enough that everybody can find their own way of doing it.
I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, I think we have a lot in common, you know, so we're not more special than the other. But on the other hand, we are kind of individuals. So, I mean, you just look over at your thumbprint. That's what this art stuff is trying to prove, that point, that it is a weird duality where we have a lot in common, but we're still individuals. And I think the arts are about that, somehow connecting us in a non-fascist way. So there's many ways to do it, and that's why I love to have guests on the show, because they're always telling me about the way they found it, and in fact, the path they're still on. And who knows, you know, down the road.
Yeah,
you might end up in Willie Nelson's band doing 300 days a year. I don't know.
You're a voice of God's ear.
Anyway, what's the next plans? Obviously, it's not touring stuff, but are you already thinking of a fourth album?
Yeah, working on that. It's funny. I've got all kinds of what I think are good, like, music, but I'm struggling with I've sort of got the mental or the writer's block going on lyric-wise. I'm really negative about a lot of things right now, and so every time I try to write something now, I'm just basically like, fuck everything, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I can't, not every song should have the message, fuck everything.
No, but I can relate, though, because imagine a bunch of reeds, you know, and the wind blows, they vibrate, right? It's kind of hard, you know, to put yourself in a total thermos bottle and ignore what's going on. You know, Meredith, you were brought, Cheeseburger brought you into the band. Is it different from when you first started? Or is it the same? Are you just the good voice that realizes his tunes?
Well, this is really Cheese's vision.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of I like to think of myself as the muse sometimes, and also just kind of the
conduit.
Yeah, like putting a voice to his words. Sometimes I try to bring my own interpretation to it, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't fit in with his vision. So we adjust it and move on.
Yeah, great. And so you're ready for number four?
Yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to it. I've been listening to these melodies for a long time, and I'm raring to sing them.
Oh, is this what happened? Cheeseburger, you, like, use a little record machine to, like, hum melodies and stuff?
I sit on the couch with the bass while she's trying to do other stuff, so she has to hear it over and over.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. You know, both of you, it's a very interesting thing. What about somebody else trying to get into music? What would your advice be?
Well, you know, that song that you played earlier, Hung Up On You, that one we did with a couple kids, they're called Archie and the Bunkers. I don't know if you've heard them or not yet, but, man, we've known them since they were like 15 and 16 or so. Now they're touring Europe and they're only about like 19 and 17 maybe.
Great.
But those guys, they just enjoy it so much that it's such a beautiful thing to see that. So I don't know, if somebody was getting into it, I'd just say, man, if you love it, do it, you know. And you might make a nickel, you might get rich, probably not, you know. But, you know, if it's in you, you got to get it out, you know, and just go ahead and do it, because it's so much fun.
Let the freak flag fly.
Yeah.
I like
you know,
that.
The bonds you make with the people you play with are priceless, you know.
Absolutely. That's the great words. I love it. I want to thank you, Meredith, so much for being on the show, truly. And I want you to keep on keeping on, please. We get number four done. Please flow it my way so I can play it. We can talk about it, okay?
All right. Thanks, Mike.
No problem. It's been September 5, 2018, Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, Cleveland Steamers. People, keep your powder dry.